The Bible is a book of good news. It's just chocked full of different stories where somebody had the privilege of delivering good news to somebody else. It was good news when Jacob's 10 sons returned home from Egypt and told their dad, "Hey, Dad, Joseph is not dead. He's alive, and he's the ruler in Egypt." Those same 10 brothers had brought home a blood-soaked coat, a coat of many different colors that Jacob had made for his 11th son by the name of Joseph, son of his beloved wife Rachel. And his conclusion when he saw the blood-soaked coat was that his son had been torn and eaten by wild animals, and the only thing was left was this coat that was now rags covered in his blood. And as he drew that conclusion and came to that conclusion that Joseph was dead, the Bible said that he mourned for many days, many, many months. In fact, I don't think a parent ever gets over the passing of a child. I think that's something that stays with you for the rest of your life. And I think that Jacob mourned many, many days for the loss of his son Joseph. And famine had come, and he had sent his 10 oldest sons to Egypt to buy grain. And they went down the first time and brought grain, but the ruler of Egypt had thought they were spies, and so he put Simon in prison and said, "Hey, you other 9 go home and bring your younger brother," because they had told him they had another brother at home. And they told the ruler in Egypt, or the ruler in Egypt had told them, "You bring your younger brother and I'll know that you're true men and not spies." They went back home, and you know the story. Jacob didn't want Benjamin, his 12th son, the youngest son, to go with him, but they ran out of grain, and he said, "You're going to have to go back to Egypt and buy more food." And Judah said, "Well, we can't go unless Benjamin goes with us. If you'll let him go with us, we'll go down and we'll buy grain." And I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning, but they went down, and Joseph revealed himself to them, and he said, "I want you to go home and get Dad, that there's 5 more years of famine. I want you to come live here in Egypt, and I'll take care of you." And can you imagine the scene when those 10 boys went home and said, "Dad, Joseph is not dead. He's alive. He rules in Egypt." That was good news. That was good news. It was good news when Moses came to Egypt and he told the nation of Israel, "God has heard your cries. He sent me to tell Pharaoh, let my people go." They'd been in Egypt for 430 years, first as an honored guest and then as slaves. And as slaves, they were required to work hard, the Bible tells us, to build cities for Pharaoh. They couldn't own houses and lands. They couldn't gather wealth. They couldn't make any plans for their future because they were slaves. And Moses came and he said, "Look, God sent me. He's heard the cry of your pain, and we're going to leave Egypt. We're going to go to the promised land that God has provided for us." It took a few weeks. God had to show Pharaoh that he was really God. God had to do some things in Egypt that only God could do. But it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 41, "And it came to pass that at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." That was good news. It was good news when Joshua said, "Hey, we're going into the promised land. Get ready." They'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They'd been led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They ate the manna from heaven and drank water from the rock. Everybody that was over 20 years old had died. These children had to watch their moms and dads die. These children had to watch their grandpas and grandmas die. For 40 years, they'd pitched and unpitched their tent. For 40 years, they'd made an unmade camp. For 40 years, they'd packed and unpacked their belongings. For 40 years, they had no place to call home. They had no place to put down roots. They had no place to stay. And Joshua said, "We're here. We're here. We're going into the promised land. The only thing that separates us from going into that land that God has prepared for us is the Jordan River, and God's going to split that too. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground." It was good news. They were where they were headed. They were where God wanted them to be. Now, I could give you many other examples. There's just scores and hundreds of other examples in the Bible where somebody got to deliver good news to somebody else. But I think the greatest good news in all the Bible is found in our text. It's good news not delivered by man, but delivered by an angel. It's good news that didn't originate on earth, but originated in heaven. It's good news not just for one man like Jacob, or not just for one nation like the nation of Israel, but it's good news for all mankind. Here's what it is. In fact, the angel told the shepherds that he was delivering good news. He says, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings." I bring you good news. It's going to cause great joy to all people. And that's what he's saying. Hey, look, the angel was saying, I'm a messenger from God. I'm not making this up. This is a message that comes from heaven, from the throne of God. And this good news is going to cause great joy, not just to you shepherds, not just to the Jewish nation, but this good news is going to cause great joy for all people. This morning, I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled, "What's So Good About the Good News?" What's so good about the good news? And you might say, well, isn't this a Christmas message? Hey, preacher, Christmas was over a month ago. Are you that far behind in your preaching? No, this good news is good news 365 days a year. Amen? It's good at Christmas time when we talk about it, and it's good at Easter time when we talk about it as we celebrate the resurrection. But the good news that the angels delivered to the shepherds that at night in Galilee as they sat on those hills around the city of Nazareth, or Bethlehem, around the city of Bethlehem, is good news 365 days out of the year. So here's the question. What's so good about the good news? What is it that makes the good news good? I have 3 points this morning. Number one, the good news is good because it's for you. Because it's for you. The angel said, I bring you good tidings for unto you. For unto you is born. It's good news because it's personal. The good news is good because it's individual. The good news is good because it's for you. You know, it's wonderful to be around other people that get good news. I talked to my dad last night, and some of you know some of the problems that he's been having. He went back this week to have another CAT scan, and everything they found before is gone. I mean, they can't find anything that they saw before. And I told some of you the story, I think it was on a Wednesday night. A few weeks ago, he thought he had days to live. He thought he had cancer of the colon, cancer of the lungs, cancer of the liver. Of course, he was a little mistaken, and he heard what the doctors said, but he was still worried. And he went back, and he was just rejoicing last night. The best I've heard him sound in since Christmas, since he went into the hospital. And it's good to stand in the circle or the shadow of the good news of others. It was good news to see Brother Dwayne back on Wednesday night. Still walking with a cane, but I'm so glad he's able to get out and get about. And it's good to know that he's healing up. And it's good to stand in that shadow or that circle of good news that is aimed at somebody else. But the good news of the Bible, what makes the good news that the angels talked about that night so good is that good news is aimed directly at you. And that good news is aimed directly at me. If it was a telegram, it would have your name on it. If it was a letter, it would have your address on it. And I know that it encompasses all people. And I know, as the angel says, it's going to bring great joy to all mankind. But the good news is good because it's directed to each one of us as an individual. As an individual. So what's so good about the good news? Number two, not only is it for you, but number two, it's for today. It's for today. The angel said, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. For unto you this day. This day. You see, Jacob, when before he got the good news, he had to wait 6 or 7 years. I mean, Joseph had to be sold as a slave. He had to go down to Egypt. He had to work for Potiphar. He had to keep the prison. He had to stand before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh's dream. The 7 years of good had to pass, and then a couple years of famine. So he waited 8, 9, 10 years. The Israelites had to wait 430 years. They were in Egypt to the day, 430 years. Then they wandered in the wilderness for another 40. But the good news that's in the book, the good news that's in the Bible, the good news that the angels delivered to the shepherds is good because we don't have to wait for it any longer. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till next month. We don't have to wait till next year. I mean, so many things in our life. You know, I was reading something the other day. And this article was saying that we've come to the point that we enjoy looking forward to something more than the actual thing that we're looking forward to. And they were citing several examples. They said people enjoy more looking forward to a vacation than they do the actual vacation. And I thought to myself, that's pretty weird. I mean, You plan a vacation, you look forward to that vacation, and you end up enjoying the looking forward to it more than you do the vacation. They said the same thing, Chantel, about weddings. They said people plan their weddings, and I said, I scratched my head. I said, Chantel's not going to be like this, but I scratched my head. They plan their weddings. Courtney, this is for you too. They plan their weddings, and they get more enjoyment out of planning and looking forward to the wedding than they do the day of the wedding. And then I thought to myself, well, that's probably true because I've seen some pretty hectic brides and grooms on the day of their wedding. But we spend more time and enjoy looking forward to something than we do the actual day. People plan a lifetime and look forward to retirement. And some people, when they retire, they don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. I want to tell you something. We don't have to wait for the good news. We don't have to enjoy expecting it to come more than the actual event. Because the good news is for today. Today. What's so good about the good news? It's for you. What's so good about the good news? It's today. What's so good about the good news? Number three, it saves. It saves. It saves. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born a Savior. A Savior. The good news is good because that Savior saves us from an eternity apart from God. The good news is good because it saves us from an eternity in hell. The good news is good because it gets us into heaven. The good news is good because God sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree in our place. That's what makes the good news good. I mean, that's what brings great joy to all people. Look, we were all sinners. The Bible tells us that we were all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've heard me say before, don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to some other person. Because if you look long enough, you'll find somebody that's in worse shape than you are. They're a bigger sinner than you are. They're further away from God than you are. And that's why that verse says, don't compare yourself to another man. Don't compare yourself to another person. Compare yourself to the glory of God. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ, God's Son. And when we do that, all of us, every single one of us, the best person in this room, when you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, you come up short, just like I do. We all come up short. And there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is eternal separation from God. It talks about it in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Death where we're separated from God. A death that just like Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden when they were kicked out from God's presence. A death that every single person dies when they commit that first sin, when they realize the difference between right and wrong, and they choose wrong. And we're under the sentence of that penalty. We're under the sentence of that judgment. We're under the sentence of death. But the good news is good because the Bible tells us that God loved us. First, many of us learned as little children, for God so loved the world. But by the way, that verse is for you, so you can put your name in there. For God so loved David Garcia. For God so loved Micah Stanley. And we could go around the room and every single one of us could put our name in that verse. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son to die in my place on Calvary. Just like I said a moment ago when we had the Lord's Supper, Jesus didn't go to the cross for any sin that he committed. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. No, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't go for his sin. He went for mine, and he went for yours. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so glad I've said this many times. I'll say it 100 times more as long as I have breath to say it. I'm so glad that God didn't wait till I deserve it to send Jesus to die for me. Because I'll tell you, I never would have got there. I never would have got there. I never would have got to a point in my life where I got so good that I would deserve in one iota of a sense Jesus coming and dying on the cross for me. I'm glad he did it when I was a sinner. I'm glad he did it when I didn't deserve it. I'm glad he did it when I had nothing to pay. He came and he died in my place on Calvary. And the good news is good because the Bible says that if we'll receive it, if we'll take it, he'll take away all of our sin. Not only take away all of our sin, he'll give us the righteousness of Christ. And he'll make us part of God's family. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What's so good about the good news? It gets sinners into God's family. What's so good about the good news? It takes away all of our sins and writes the righteousness of Christ on our lives. What's so good about the good news? I can stand before God justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. What's so good about the good news? It's free. It's free. God had to pay a great price, but we don't have to pay anything. All we have to do is take it. Just take it. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, maybe this is your first time here, maybe you've been here many, many times before, But I'll be honest with you. I preached over a thousand times. Every time I preach about Jesus, I try to make it just as simple that a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old could understand it. That's the way God put it in the Bible. He didn't expect us to be PhDs so that we could understand what salvation is all about. He told his disciples, he said, hey, they just need to come as little children. Little children that understand that they're a sinner. Little children that can understand that they're punished for sin. Little children that understand that somebody took their whooping for them. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it this morning? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And by the way, it's for you. You say, well, Brother Darrell, this is my first time at this church. This may be the first time I've heard about this good news. It's still for you. It's for you. And I invite you this morning on behalf of the one who died for us to come and receive him. Come get your sins taken care of. Come get right with God. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. Thank you for making it so simple that a little child can understand it and know what they need to do to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd help them understand that they're a sinner. You'd help them understand that Jesus died for them. And you'd help them understand that he is the only way to get right with God. It's not by works. It's not by joining the church. It's not by taking communion. It's by coming to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here that's not done that, today would be the day they would decide. Today would be the day that they would come and they'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it, Father, as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.